It is day three of the Virginia Film Festival. This is Sean McCord of the Filmmakers Lounge. I am sitting across two esteemed filmmakers, people I really admire, Chris Hedges and D.A. Pennebaker. Thank you so much for being here. They are coming here with their newest documentary film, Unlocking the Cage, which airs Sunday, tomorrow, 1 p.m. in St. Anne's, Belfield. But you both have careers going way back, as I was telling you. Penny, can I call you Penny?
Yes.
Thank you. We studied your films in when I was in film school in the 1980s.
Yeah, they were all made during the Civil War, so it was good thing we got them out.
Yeah, that's right. You were making films before there were cameras. But you actually did. You invented a way of syncing sound.
We had to build a camera.
You built a camera, a 16mm camera.
Ricky helped me, and other people helped. Yeah. Bogdanovich was a machinist that helped actually do the machine work for a lot of it.
Right. So we screened your film, The Primary, at the festival this week, which was, I'm sorry, not The Primary, The War Room. Primary was a different film, which I also studied. We screened your film, War Room, which was about the original Clinton campaign from the early 90s and made stars of James Carville and other people, George Stephanopoulos, and your new film, Unlocking the Cage, which screens Sunday at 1 p.m. Let's talk a little bit about that, and then with what time we have left, we can fill in other things. But tell me about Unlocking the Cage.
Well, the most wonderful thing for me about Unlocking the Cage, which was like a four-year journey, mm-hmm. and through the halls of the law legal system, which is not a place to go if you're in a hurry. And it's a film that my partner Chris Hedges made, and I kind of watched her make it. So that for me was very exciting.
Tell me about Unlocking the Cage.
Okay. Like most of our films, mm-hmm. somebody's walked through the door and said, would you like to make a film about this lawyer? And he's going to do something very novel, which is he's going to go into a court and argue that animals, which are considered things and property right now in the eyes of the law, should be considered legal persons. And we thought, well, what does that even mean? But we were intrigued, and so we invited Steve Wise to come to our office, and he told us that he believed that he could argue in a court that an animal of a species that was highly cognizant, like a whale, orca, yeah. dolphin, chimpanzee, elephant, had the ability, kind of the scientific study behind them, to prove that they should have some type of legal right to keep them from being abused. And he was going to find the best state in the United States to argue this type of case with, and the best animal in one of these three species. And so in the end, he chose New York State and chimpanzees.
Mm-hmm.
And so we followed him on this very special journey of looking for chimpanzees in New York State, and then eventually going into the courts and arguing his case that they should have some kind of right.
So I don't want to give away the ending, because we want people
right.
to come see, the film Unlocking the Cage, which is Sunday at 1 p.m. at St. Anne's Belfield. But, I mean, you two, your career has been so esteemed that you're kind of documentary filmmakers. So people come to you when they want to have a film made to address an issue that they're passionate about. So this issue of animal rights and animal intelligence and animals having rights in the court, was this something that you had spent time thinking about before, or
what? His dog.
Well,
and
okay.
we really miss him.
Yeah,
we used to take him out in the park every day, and all the friends we'd had before who didn't have dogs disappeared, and we all our friends then became dog owners.
Sure.
So it changed our lives in ways that we had never imagined.
Yeah. No. I mean, we loved animals, and
yeah.
I think, if you do have an animal, even a pet like a dog or a cat, you realize how intelligent they are, and that they shouldn't just be a thing like a chair.
Mm.
So we knew that, and, we had been influenced by some of the people, who had been you know, shining light on the issues of animal abuse, especially in the food industry with Food Inc. And,
right.
and of course, in the process of making this film, we met Gabriella, who eventually did Blackfish.
Yes.
You know, there was a lot of interest in, out there in showing that animals should not be kept in the type of situations that we've taken for granted for years. So we kind of came at it with that level of animal interest. But we knew nothing about the law, really. And
yeah.
I think if I had knew that this was going to take years for these cases to go through the court, you know, I might have put a second thought on it. But it was so fascinating, you know, that we just really couldn't pull away.
Well, how long did it take to make this film? The time someone came in your
door?
4 years. 4 years, wow. Yeah. And was most of that because that's how long it took to go through the court system?
No, because a lot of the work that was done by people who kind of got drawn into it through Steve,
mm-hmm.
they were young lawyers. Or sometimes older lawyers and or students lawyers, and they wanted to attach themselves to something kind of dramatic and sort of romantic. It was a little like what had happened in the 50s and 60s with everybody wanting to go down to the South to deal with the civil rights.
Right.
So it had that, and they all had to be, you know, it was like it became a kind of cause, and Steve had to sort of wind his way through it carefully because he needed all those people to be with him, whatever he did.
Yeah,
I think, yeah, I mean, it took, you'll see in the movie, there's a lot of twists and turns.
Sure.
And, you know, a lot of those are the reason that it takes a long time. But I think in documentary films, you have to follow the story. And,
yeah.
you know, if the story goes on, you know, you have to be there for it and be there for what you consider to be, you know, some type of conclusion for what you're doing. And, you know, and then you have to promote your film. And I think that's kind of was the fourth year, really, of this process is
sure.
is getting the film out into the world. And so the film premiered.
Like the Virginia Film Festival.
Yeah.
Right.
The film premiered at Sundance and,
nice.
You know, did some theatrical and, you know, we're very happy to be here at the Virginia Film Festival, you know, both with this film and with The War Room, which kind of had a sort of a premiere here, too.
But right. also, what we think is kind of fundamental about this kind of film
mm-hmm.
is if you were telling a story, you walked in a room and I'd tell a story about how you'd gone out and found a bear somewhere in your house. You'd have to start at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And when filmmakers don't start at the beginning, they have to find somebody to tell them what happened. So
mm-hmm.
it becomes a secondary story. And our feeling, the thing that we liked about this one is we began it when Steve had just decided he was going to go off out and go into the law
mm-hmm.
and fight the law in a sense. And so we could start it when he was not just sure what to do next, that each step had to be figured out. And that made it a story that works for this kind of filming.
Yeah, you really want to be there when somebody is just going to kind of jump off the cliff and take that first risk that
yeah.
they're going to do finally after 30 years of researching and trying different types of legislative remedies to help animals. He was finally going to take this really big step of kind of going into the courts.
What I know what people really appreciate about your films is that you don't use a lot of talking heads.
Mm-hmm.
You don't use the voice of God. You know, a narrator telling you what to think. You watch.
Yeah.
Exactly. You use the camera. You make the viewer, you give them the point of view of the camera and you let the events unfold. So the editing process, as you're filming, are you kind of editing in your head? Are you thinking to yourself, you know, this is
maybe,
the scene we're going
to
use?
Not to any real... You haven't decided you shoot it like anything that moves that catches your interest.
Sure.
You film it. Why
mm-hmm.
not? The point is, when you sit down to edit it, what you then have to do is change your modus operandi. You become a different kind of filmmaker. And what you really need is to make theater out of it.
Exactly.
Because that's what people will
exactly
want to pay
right.
and sit and watch.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a different game. And you have to kind of understand that it has to be done differently.
I always kind of think of it also as kind of detective work. Like when you're filming real life, you don't really know what's going to happen, and mm-hmm. you're trying to find the story as you're filming and where it's going to go, and you have to kind of have your antennas going at all times to kind of see, you know, which way you're going to follow it. And then afterwards, you have all this material, and it again, it's kind of an investigation of finding the story within the material that most dramatically is what you experienced, and
you
kind
know,
of pull that out.
When making the film, mm-hmm. The two of us are very passionate partners. We're man and wife.
Clearly.
To have children. And then when you sit down to edit it, we become almost enemies. we're like, you're full of shit. Because the problem you have to deal with is people's attachment to their ideas, to the things they've invented, and the ideas, it becomes very personal.
Yeah.
And you have to somehow find a way to meld that. So the making, but I'll tell you, there's nothing in the world I more enjoyed than sitting down in front of an editing machine with Chris and trying to figure out how to make theater out of what we'd shot.
Well, that was kind of my vision. That's when you have the raw material and now you start sculpting.
Right, it's like sculpting.
Yeah. So you've made so many films. You're known for a lot of films you made about musicians, Bob Dylan, Depeche Mode, but also a lot of political films.
Did you like the Depeche Mode film?
I loved it.
Me too. It's our favorite film.
And I will be honest, I was not a fan of the band before then.
Really?
Oh, we didn't even know who they were.
I barely knew who they were. But having seen the film, you know, now every time I hear their music, now we play 30 years later,
it just kind of
brings it back. Yeah. So, as you said, you're both very passionate. You know, now you're sort of you've become involved in the animal rights issue. So, as you make these films, you must become passionate about the subject. How do you balance all these passions, all these things that you're that have sort of come into your life, and that have become so important for you? And at what point do you have to say, I care really a lot about this issue, but we've done that film.
Yeah.
And I have to put that aside and move on to the next issue that I'm passionate about.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard, and we become very good friends with our subjects
sure.
a lot of times.
Yeah.
We were very heavily in the pastry world from the last film, Kings
right.
of Pastry.
Kings of Pastry, yes.
And, that's, you know, slowly now, you know, it's about almost 10 years now since that film. And, you know, a lot of that is slowly dropping away, and we've become so involved in the animal and legal world. And as a matter of fact, in the process of making this film, our daughter, who had been in international development, decided to become a lawyer.
Oh, wow.
And she applied to law school and graduated all in the process of making this film. So we're interested in that. But the animal issue has become such a strong issue for us.
Yeah.
It's really changed our lives. The way we eat, you know, so many aspects of what we do. And I can't quite let it go. I just was talking to Steve, about the updates on, you know, what's happening in his work with the Non-Human Rights Project. And I'm actually going to do another animal story as a short virtual reality film.
Interesting. And
so
it's virtual reality as in you're going to need goggles?
You need the goggles and headsets to watch it. But
if anybody is going to be making documentary films in virtual reality, it's YouTube. That is very exciting.
And it's about tigers.
Yeah. Better yet.
Yeah, yeah.
So, Penny, do you have a minute? Can you tell me the story again about bringing the war room to UVA? Because that was a great story.
About when we brought the war room to the school.
To the University of Virginia for George.
So go ahead. The story about our chairs.
Oh, the chairs.
Yeah.
Oh, right. When we had shown it to Carville down what he called the Bat Cave,
right,
which was his office in Washington.
This is in the early 90s.
And he'd seen it. And it was interesting to show it to him because he kind of was nervous about a few things. But in the end, he said, you know, it's true to what we do.
Uh-huh.
That is the work, and I'm proud of what we do, so it's fine. But we hadn't showed it to George. So
George Stephanopoulos.
I told somebody who had come to me about showing it at the University of Virginia, I said, well, if you'll invite us down with George, I'll get him to see it. That'll be the first time he's seen it.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy said, well, I think I can do that, and maybe I can get you a couple of chairs. And I thought, you know, chairs for documentary filmmaking, that sounds like a big deal in the university. What he meant was two chairs, which we eventually got him. But anyway, we brought it down, and George sat next to me all through the film, and he laughed. He just loved the film. And in the end, he said, well, if I'd known that you were going to make this kind of a film and show it in theaters, I would never have let you in.
And I know the chairs you mean. They're the Jefferson chairs.
Yes.
You still have them.
They're lovely.
Well, thank you so much for taking time out of your day to come in and talk to me about this. I could stay here all day and talk to you, but I know you have a screening to get to. Their film, Unlocking the Cage, screens Sunday at 1 p.m. in St. Anne's Belfield. I've been talking to Chris Hedges and D.A. Pennybaker. Chris, Penny, thank you so much for coming by, and we hope to see you at another Virginia Film Festival.
Thank you.
Well, thank you for showing films to people who aren't sure they want to see them.
But they absolutely should.
The problem, we never used the word documentary when we tried to sell them, because that was the death of distribution.
Oh, really?
For a long time.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah, so we said, well, they're just movies.
Just movies. Yeah. Just movies about people
don't
and things.
Don't worry yourself.
We always called it the D word. With little hex signs around it.
Thank you very much.
Farewell.
Thank you.